Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have coined a phrase, and I don't think it's an original phrase, but I like to say that we who know Jesus are to be peddlers of hope. That everywhere we go, we should be peddlers of hope. We should be selling hope to those around us. And of course, when I say selling, I mean giving it away. Peddlers of hope. But it's awfully hard sometimes to be peddlers of hope when the situations around us are quite hopeless. Sometimes I have to stop looking at the news. Because everywhere we turn, as we look at the news, it's all bad news. Especially in our world, when we turn on the national news and we hear about war-torn areas and bombs raining on people, it's very hard to be a peddler of hope. When we know that we have medical prognoses that are very grim, it's very hard to be a peddler of hope. And although we say we know Jesus as Lord and Savior, there are still times when peace eludes us and we wonder how on earth we can be peddlers of hope. Isaiah had the same problem. When you read Isaiah 55, you have to know the kind of place he was living in. These were people who were in exile, and they had been in exile for decades. These were people whose homeland was destroyed. And you know, when an enemy comes in, they have a scorched earth philosophy. And we talk about war-torn areas, and areas that it's not only what they do to the people, but what they do to the land. And that was no different in ancient times. Their beloved Jerusalem was razed to the ground. And for 50 years, they were in exile, wondering when God was going to show up. It's very difficult to have hope. And some of these folks, probably most that Isaiah was talking to, were born at a time when they had never lived in that holy city. All they knew was what was told to them. They had no idea what Jerusalem looked like. They had been raised in a foreign place. And Isaiah has to give them hope. He has to be a peddler of hope. And he's given a vision, and he tells the vision to his people. And I wonder if they thought he was stark raving out of his mind. Because the vision says that, first of all, whatever God says is going to come about. And he says, you're going to go out in joy. You're going to be led back in peace. Even the mountains and the hills will burst into song, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. In other words, nature is going to be restored. And they must have thought Isaiah had taken too much time out in the sun, because nothing in their experience was like this. And yet, Isaiah was a peddler of hope. And what he was telling his people was that someday there's going to be a homecoming. Someday, all of this will be a reality, this peace and this hope. And as I was reading about the background, someone said, the reason that Isaiah spoke this way was so people could catch a vision of what was possible and start working toward it. Because it's hard to be a purveyor of hope and of peace and of joy if you have no hope and peace and joy. But if you can see something beyond oneself and beyond one circumstance, then we can start making that a possibility. And we've seen this in history, haven't we? Those who were enslaved here in the United States started to see a possibility that that could end, that there was a peaceable kingdom ahead. Those who were part of the civil rights movement saw that there was a possibility of peace, that there was a possibility of equality, and worked toward that. Those who were in apartheid in South Africa saw the possibility of equality and worked toward it. We can't be purveyors of peace and hope if we have none. And I think of someone in another generation who was a purveyor of hope in a very hopeless time. This was a lady named Corrie ten Boom, and she wrote a book called The Hiding Place. She was a watchmaker in Holland, along with her family. It was the family business. And they had this lovely home, and in this home was a room that was set apart, and it was kind of a secret place where they could hide things. And I'm sure as children, that must have been a magical place to live. Well, during the Nazi occupation, her family decided that they needed to do something in their own way to help the Jewish people. So that secret room became a hiding place for friends and neighbors who sought refuge with her family. Now, the Nazi occupation forces got wind that something was happening at that home, so they began to watch them very carefully. And one day they came and arrested Corrie and her family. Her father was in his 90s. And they said to him, "If you can promise that you will not do this again, we will let you go." And he said, "I cannot do that." And he was taken off to a concentration camp. She was taken off with her sister. Most of her family died. The ironic thing is, the people that they rescued did escape with their lives. But most of her family, because of what she did and what that family did, were killed in a concentration camp or died of disease. Corrie was one of the few who made it out. And while she was in that place of darkness, in a concentration camp where she saw people marched to death daily, where she saw people die of disease, her own sister died because she was so frail and could not endure the hardships of that camp. But she and her sister ran a Bible study. And every day they met and prayed with the ladies in their barracks, prayed for light, prayed for peace, participated in something that they could not see. You know, I've been to modern-day prisons back in Washington, D.C. They're not pretty places. But most people who are there are people who have committed crimes. And even so, they are terrible places to be. Imagine being in a place where you have not done anything wrong, and you are treated so horribly and so shamefully. But they were undaunted, took care of the ladies in their barracks. And when they got out, when Corrie finally got out of prison, rather than being caught up in the bitterness and the anger, she decided that people needed to heal. And each place that she went, she wanted to establish a home for people who were so wounded emotionally by war. Now, that was before the time that we understood about PTSD, but she intrinsically knew what that was about. And so she wanted to establish these beautiful homes with flower gardens and places where people could have some peace of mind. And she did all of this because she knew of a God of love and grace and light. And she knew that within the ugliness there was peace. And so she went from place to place. She said her most challenging time came when she was lecturing someplace and talking about her experiences and about the need to heal. And someone came up to her after her lecture and said, "That was the most beautiful thing I've ever heard, and I want to be a part of this." And he reached out his hand to shake her hand. And it was one of her guards at the concentration camp. and not somebody who was kind and compassionate. This has been a very vicious person, someone cruel, someone who had participated in her violation and in the deaths of so many people. And here he was extending his hand to her, and she said, all I wanted to do was turn my back. But when we're peddlers of hope and peace and love, peddlers of Jesus, she couldn't do that. And so it took everything in her power to shake that man's hand. And she said, when I did, the healing that came over me was instant. We are peddlers of hope. I saw her speak when she was in her 80s. And you would never know that she had been in a concentration camp. She exuded the light and love and peace of Jesus. If we are to plant hope in people's minds and hearts, we need to have that same hope. And it's the hope that we know that even if we speak a word and we don't get any results, that in God's time, that will come about. And it might not be in our lifetime that it comes about. It might be in another person's lifetime. But we know that the God of grace, the God of peace, the God of joy, wants this world to be at peace and wants us to work for that. Let us be peddlers of hope today. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that in all the ugliness that we see around us, in so many circumstances, that you are still the God of peace and joy and grace. And I ask that you would plant that hope within us, that even when we go into dark situations, the light of Christ will come with us. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.